James chapter 1. Are you done with your Christmas shopping? That's a rhetorical question. That's a hysterical question. If you're done with your Christmas shopping. Some of you are planners and you plan this months out and all that kind of thing. You do that. Some of you are busy and you don't plan as you should. There were times that I would, when we were first married, I was in the ministry, and we would just be chasing our tail to get everything done and in. And Christmas at churches, you know, it tends to be quite even before this church. This church is just crazy busy because of Journey Through Christmas. But most churches, you know, you have a pageant or Christmas cantata and all these kinds of other things that I was usually always involved with and pushing and staying focused and then get it all done. And when it's all done, then we hopped in the car, we drove to Augusta, Georgia, and that's where Hope's parents live. And then we're a day or two from Christmas, and it dawns on me, what are you going to give, you know, for Christmas gifts? And so I'd go out late at night and find the stores that are open and that kind of thing. You know, when you do that, you don't always find the perfect gift. You find something that's good. You find something that's good, but you don't necessarily find a perfect gift. You know, is there a difference between a good gift? A good gift gets this kind of response. Oh, wow, that's great. Thank you. Oh, it's wonderful. Now, how does this work? The perfect gift. Oh, man! How did you know? That's the perfect gift, okay? James chapter 1, we find both. Verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. God delights in giving gifts to His children. God delights in that. Have you ever had a gift that you knew that your spouse or knew that your daughter or your son really wanted, really needed, it would be good for them, and you found it at a certain place and you've kept it secret, you've kept it hidden and all that kind of thing. You just can't wait to give it to them. You can't wait till the look on their face when you give that to them. It gives you great joy, doesn't it? Whenever they receive that and you see the joy on their face and the relief or whatever it may be, it gives you great joy. Don't you know it gives God the Father great joy to give us good gifts, to give us perfect gifts? And He knows our needs, and He knows how to bless us. He knows, He has the windows of heaven. I had a phone call on Wednesday. Phone call on Wednesday this week, yesterday. And, you know, Journey Through Christmas is expensive, and it's all these things, you know, come to bear upon a church. And got a phone call from a bank, Bank of America. And when they identified who they were, I was thinking, okay, good. We don't have any accounts at Bank of America. That's good. Okay, so what is it? And I thought maybe it was some kind of solicitation. And they said, someone has is naming Volusia County Baptist Church. They want to give a grant to the church. And I thought, well, okay, that sounds wonderful. And they wanted to verify that we were in fact a church. And so we sent them all organizational documents and a copy of our bulletin, different things that they were asking about. You know, they wanted to verify that it wasn't a scam, that we were really a church and things, and they processed that. And what a blessing that is, that God can open up the windows of heaven and can give us things. Anita, good to have you back. I see Anita Boyd over here. God bless you. And been praying for you, the passing of your father. I didn't see you before service. I'm sorry about that. So good to see you. But when God can open up the windows of heaven and He can give us what we need, What a blessing that is. He is a good and a gracious God, and He knows exactly what you need. And David said, I have been young, and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. As we're continuing to serve Him, He's telling us that He's able to give us the good gifts and the perfect gifts. By the way, we'll get back to our study in Romans at a later time. But I just thought that next Thursday we'll be in Journey, and the next Thursday is right before Christmas. And so we'll look at some things about Christmas and that kind of thing. If you're jotting down, I'm gonna hurriedly give these to you. I'm not going to try to belabor your faithfulness coming out on a Thursday night. I'm not going to try to waste any time at all. So the first thought, if you're jotting some things down, the perfect gift, it reminds me of the gift of the Savior. The gift of the Savior. Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The Lord Jesus is the gift of God. And He was promised gift. Genesis 3:15, He promised to right there after sin entered the world, He had already planned the way of redemption. It wasn't something that the Trinity, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit didn't have to get together after the Garden of Eden and after the sin of Adam and Eve. And what are we going to do about this? No. Before eternity passed, in the heart and mind of God, redemption's plan was in place. It was a promised gift. You ever promised to give someone something? Especially little ones? Don't forget about your promise, because they sure won't. They sure won't. But when God says a promise, He keeps it. It was a promised gift. It was a perfectly timed gift. Galatians 4:4 says, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son." When the fullness of time, it was exactly the right time. You know something? God is never late. He is never late. Sometimes, but rarely, is God early. But God is always on time. He's always on time. You can always count on His faithfulness. And for literally centuries, they waited for the coming of the Lamb of God, and He came. And by the way, just as He came the first time, He is coming again. And He's going to come when the fullness of time has arrived. When is that, preacher? I don't know. But He could come tonight before we're done with this church service. Amen. The gift of the Savior. Number two, the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. It's amazing every time that we have a funeral service. We don't try to make it inappropriate or anything like that. But I tell people oftentimes at a funeral service, I mentioned Brother Paul and how that one day I'll probably see him in heaven, and he might find out that we were there as funeral service, and he might walk up to me and say something like this: "I heard that you spoke to my family and friends," and he might look me straight square in the eye and say to me, "Did you tell my family the truth?" And I want to be able to tell Paul that I told them the truth. And to see 10 or 12 people raise their hand that they prayed and received Christ as their Savior. Now, I don't know what goes on in their hearts, but I believe that they were sincere. They wouldn't have raised their hand. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that can be at a funeral. That can be in a parking lot. That can be at a home. That can be in church. The gift of the Savior, the gift of salvation. By the way, salvation is the one gift that one size fits all. One size fits all. John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in all the Bible. "For God so loved the world that He gave." It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of salvation. Why would someone turn away that gift? Why would someone say, I'll tell you, Satan will give lots of excuses. He'll put a demon of hell on their shoulder and whisper all kinds of things into their mind. This isn't really real. Or this is real, but don't do it today. That's probably the most effective one. You can get saved later. Well, you can, unless you get hit by a truck. You can. You can unless you have that stroke and that heart attack and you fall over with some kind of disease and all of a sudden you're gone. Then, my friend, your decision is sealed for all of eternity. The gift of salvation, a personal relationship with the living God. Think about that. That's what sets aside Christianity different and unique from every other religion. A personal relationship with a living God. I hope you have that. I hope you've talked with Him today. I hope you've fellowshipped with the Lord today. Now, you see, as a Christian, this isn't part of the message, but as a Christian, our own sinful choices can break that fellowship. It won't harm the relationship, but it can break the fellowship. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I can't unborn myself, okay? I've been born into this world. Bob and Martha Sears are my parents. I can't change that. That's what happened when I got born into this world. I got born into those parents. And when you got saved, you got born again as a child of God. And that is done and that is settled. But that fellowship between you and your Savior, that fellowship can be broken. That opportunity for answers to prayer. The gift of salvation is solid, but make sure your fellowship is vibrant with Him. So the gift of the Savior, number one. The gift of the salvation, number two. And number three, the gift of the Spirit. I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to John. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter number 14. The gift of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. The Bible says in John 14 and verse 16, "And I will pray the Father," Jesus is telling His disciples, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The gift of the Spirit, He is an indwelling person. He is God dwelling within a believer. What a wonderful thing that God, it's not like, "God, do you hear me?" No, listen. God's within you as a child of God. You say, "Well, I don't hear Him. I don't sense Him." Well, then do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Why don't you check up on your lifestyle? Why don't you check on your decisions? Why don't you check on your behavior? Why don't you check on your conduct? Is it matching up with the Word of God? Say, "No, I've got this problem and that problem. What do I do about it?" 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why don't you just get cleansed? Doesn't your wife, you've been out working on the car, and you come in to sit down at the table, and she looks at your hands, and they're all filthy and everything? She said, "Go wash." Okay? Well, don't you think that in a spiritual way, that the Holy Spirit of God, if you're going to commune with the Holy Spirit of God, the example that Jesus gave when He washed the disciples' feet, as they're going through a dirty world, and he would wash their feet. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to make us and present us acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. The indwelling person of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Skip down to verse 26, if you will. John 14, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." How many times have you been talking with someone and they've asked you something about the Bible? They've asked you something about your beliefs. They've asked you something about the church you attend. And it's just as if some answer just came to you. And you're not even sure you remember where you heard it. But it just came to you. May I remind you that that is the fulfillment of Scripture, when the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind what you need at that very moment that you need to speak to someone the truth of God. He's an indwelling person. He's an educating person. He will teach you. He will lead you into all truth and bring these things into remembrance. He's an educating person. When you come to church, you should not be just coming to listen to whoever's preaching in the pulpit. You should be communicating with the Lord as you hear the Word of God preached. And you know He might bring something to your mind that is never even said by the one preaching in the pulpit. He'll bring something to your mind, and you'll jot that down in the margin of your Bible or on a scrap piece of paper, or you'll look up and compare with a scripture reference. Hey, listen, I'd much rather you be listening to God than listening to me. Much rather. Many times I'm listening, and your mind is going to be active. It is going to be active. And you either stay focused on God's word and what's being said, or you're going to be thinking about, Pastor mentioned, are you done with Christmas? Oh, I need to get, for this person and that person. And I need to check on that store for such. Your mind is going to be racing on. So keep it focused on the word of God, at least in church. Amen. At least in church. Because the Holy Spirit wants to speak. And what a great place amongst the family of God. A spiritual warmth. When you hear the music that we sing as Christmas carols and this kind of thing, and great songs like Brother James just sang, and it touches your heart, softens your heart towards the Lord. He's an educating person. He's an indwelling person. He's an empowering person. The Holy Ghost is an empowering person. Flip over a few pages to Acts chapter 1, if you will, please. Acts chapter 1. Just turn to the right about six pages or so. Acts chapter 1. And look at verse 4. The Bible says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they, this is talking about Jesus who was assembled with the disciples, together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Notice, could Jesus, look at this way, could Jesus have told them exactly when to expect this to take place? I agree, Brother West. I believe he could have said, you wait 40 days. But he didn't say that. He said, not many days hence. There's something about waiting on God. There's a reverence. There's a worshipfulness. There's a surrender. There's an unconditional commitment. He said not many days. Could you imagine the first few days and next few days? We're just going to wait because Jesus said it would happen. By the way, if Jesus said it's going to happen, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. Amen. And he said in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're still looking for the deliverance, okay? They're still stuck on that. They know that Jesus died on the cross. They put it together that he died on the cross for their sins. They got that. Okay, great. He rose again, proving that he's the Son of God. Okay, they understand that. Now is it time? By the way, when Jesus Christ comes back, if you know your Bible, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's not coming all the way to the earth as far as we understand Scripture, as far as I understand Scripture. He's not coming all the way to the earth the next time he comes. Amen. He's coming in the clouds, 1 Thessalonians 4. And he's going to take all of God's children out of harm's way, and then the war starts. Say, well, there's going to be wars among... No. The war of man against God is going to take place. This world has never seen anything like that. They make movies about it all the time. All the time, making disaster movies and apocalyptic movies. They're making like crazy, making billions of dollars off of that. But they've never seen it, really. But Satan's preparing for it. Verse 7 says, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive what? Power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. That is why we exist. That is why when you get saved, God doesn't take you straight on to heaven. Because he has a plan, and you are part of that plan to reach somebody in the uttermost part of the earth, or in Jerusalem, our own Orange City, Volusia County area, or someone that you're going to influence and point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he is done with you in that plan, he'll take you on home. Now, so is it possible? Is it possible that God has a plan for you that he desires that only you can fulfill in that perfect way? Yeah. Yeah. You're special. You're unique in the heart and the mind of God. So these are three wonderful gifts. The Savior who came, the salvation God gave, and then the Holy Spirit that empowers us. I close with this. What do you do with a gift? These three unspeakable gifts that God has given to us. What do you do with them? Number one, give thanks for it. Give thanks for it. When I'm in the invitation room during Journey Through Christmas, about halfway through the invitation, drawing the net of what they have seen and drawing to a point of decision, and given an opportunity to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm about 4 or 5 minutes into it, and I stop for a moment, and I hold up the candy stocking that our folks have put together, one of those candy stockings. I pick it up, and I hold it there, and I say, now, when we dismiss in just a moment, you're going to go right out that hallway, you're going to go down the stairs, you're going to go through the snack tent, you're going to get hot chocolate, you're going to get cookies, and all the children are going to receive one of these candy stockings. And I hold it up there. I said, every one of you children, I point at them, every one of you children are going to receive one of these candy stockings, except for that boy right there. And usually that boy goes, like, what did I do wrong? I try to pick just the nicest, just the most precious little boy. And everyone usually always goes, oh. And I say, you know why? Because he's going to get two of them. And they do that. They go, oh, that's nice, you know. I say, here, I want you to have this. This is yours. I want you to have it. Go ahead. And he gets up and he comes up there and he takes it out of my hand. And he usually, if he doesn't right then every single mom, every single dad, every single one of them, they would always say when he turns, they'd say, what do you say? And he turns around, thank you. I said, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. And I tell him to say, now make sure when you go out there, you kind of hide that, you know, they're going to think you already got one. You get two of them, it's legal. And then I tell everyone else, I say, you know, that little boy, I was wanting him to have that gift, but he had to do something. He had to do something to make that gift his. What was it he had to do? And they said he had to take it. And I make that point. But over and over and over, every single night when I do that, every single time, they usually always, whenever I had it, they say, thank you. I wonder how many times do we get up and start our day without thanking God for the gifts that he has given to us, for saving our unworthy soul. So what do you do with a gift? Give thanks for it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Number two, don't just thank God for it, but also use it. Use it. I know that you have probably experienced this. You get like your child's maybe 4 or 5 years old, and you just can't wait. You've got this gift for them, and it's in a great big box, and you put it together, and as you're trying to put it together, have you ever seen the kid? Have you ever seen him just having a ball with the box? Crawling in it and, you know, and using it like a truck and all kind of pushing it around and having a good time with the truck. And they develop a bond with the box so much that you try to show them when you got it all put together, hey, here's the toy. And they're having too much fun with the box. They're not using what you gave them, okay? I wonder how many times we don't use the gifts that God gives us. Don't just thank Him for the gifts, but use them. He gets great joy out of us using what He has gifted us with for His glory. He gets great joy out of seeing folks folding up tarps and stuffing envelopes and putting the candy in the, you know. He gets great joy out of seeing us do things for Him with the gifts that He's given to us. So give thanks to God, use them for God, and then share them for God. Share them. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting out of my hands, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Stir up the gift. Keep it active. You say, well, I used to do this for God, and I used to do that for God. Oh, okay, well, great. Can you continue doing those things for God? Can you continue? Well, I don't know, in this church, and I'm kind of new, and I don't really know where I could fit. If you're kind of curious about that, won't you see me? Preachers, we kind of have a list in our brain, you know, and we'd love to put people in this and that and that and the other. It's not that we don't know where to put you. It's that we've got so many places. We're trying to put you in a place that you'd like to enjoy and stuff. We'd like you to enjoy doing that. Stir it up. Share the gift. Share the gift. There was a man who was shopping for Christmas. And it was near Christmas, and there was lines everywhere. He went to the next store, and he couldn't hardly find a parking place anywhere. That's pretty bad when you go to Walmart, and you have a parking lot the size of 4 football fields, and there's not a place to park. I mean, that's very discouraging. You're thinking, what in the world am I going to get into when I go in? He went on into the store. He found what he wanted, and all of the registers were blocked up. They were just packed with people. And, you know, there's all kinds of problems with, you know, 4 or 5 people ahead. You can see, you know, where they're asking for a different one because this one's broken. And now it just takes forever. And he's already, you know, he's looking at his watch. He's calling on the phone. He's really, really upset. And he makes a comment. He said, whoever invented Christmas ought to be killed. And a wise, dear lady behind him said, they did. And his name was Jesus Christ. And they crucified him. And boy, he just tucked his tail between his legs. The greatest gift that's ever been given. The perfect gift. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1 that we just read that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So when you leave tonight, I don't know if the clouds are, if it's going to be real cloudy or not. I don't know. But if you look up, you're going to see the stars that sprinkle our night sky. And know that on the other side of those stars is a Heavenly Father who loves you. And He delights in giving you good and perfect gifts. Thank Him. Thank Him for the gifts. Use the gifts and share them with other people. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your precious word. Thank You for Your love. And Lord, I pray now that we would continue to serve You. This is a working church. But Lord, sometimes we just get discouraged and Satan wants to try to trip us up. And all these things take place. But Lord, You're in charge of it all. And I pray now that we would continue worshiping You, loving You, serving You. And Lord, the work in people's hearts, that's what only You can do. So Lord, we're trusting You for that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If You would say, preacher, before I leave, I don't know for sure that I've accepted the gift of salvation. The gift, the one size fits all. I'm telling you today that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. And He proved it by sending His Son Jesus to be your Savior. Is there one who would say, "Preacher, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior, but I'd like to know how to go to heaven"? Is there one who would say, "Preacher, that's my heart's desire today"? Would you slip your hand up with no one looking? I'll pray with you and point you to Jesus Christ. Is there one? Then I'm looking at God's family here tonight. And dear Lord, I pray that you would minister. I pray that you would heal hearts. I pray, God, that you would strengthen. I pray that you would give good rest. And I pray that you would speak peace to each and every heart. Lord, help us not to be weary in well-doing. But Lord, help us to realize that you're going to give fruit and you're going to give blessing. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. We give you the glory, we give you the praise. Bring us back together again on Sunday to worship your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before